This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by Nomad PHP. Start a habit of continuous learning. Visit nomadphp.com and subscribe today. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. My name is Cal Evans, and this is another episode of Elephant Live. My special guest tonight is Mr. Chris Hartges. Say hi to everybody, Chris.
Hi, everybody.
It's just so weird to have you without Ed. I mean, you know, it's always Chris and Ed, you know, or Ed and Chris, one of the two. It's weird.
Yeah, it is definitely weird when I talk to people and Ed is not here.
But, hey, tonight's topic is public speaking, and specifically we're going to talk a little bit, about stage presence, because that's something I've been tweeting about an awful lot lately. But before we get to that, I sent over briefly, like within the last 5 minutes, a list of questions, and because I didn't want you to have a lot of time to get prepared for this thing. The very first question, I like to ask this of every speaker out there that I talk to: how did you get started in public speaking?
So for me, it started off, I went to a PHP conference in Toronto, one of the very early, I don't know, PHP Works or something. This is like 2004, that time frame.
Wow.
Rasmus was there. He's basically the only speaker, and Amy Hoy, who I became friends with later, spoke at that event too. And so I watched that. And I ran into you as well at that one all those years ago. And I saw this. I thought, this is kind of neat. You can get up there and talk a little bit about what you know and share and get some questions, you know, get some questions asked and answer things. I thought, this is actually kind of neat. And so then I went back and to work and had to do a little presentation for people. And one of the things that happened to me is when I went to school, I liked college so much I went twice. So first time I went, I took civil engineering, and one of the courses we had to do was a mandatory course on doing presentations, and I used to be one of these people who would be like super nervous, like you'd have your thing in front of you, and your hands are shaking as you're trying to give your presentation, and I don't know what it is that the teacher of the course did, but just the right bits flipped in my head where I suddenly was okay giving presentations. I still get nervous from time to time, but it wasn't like so paralyzing I couldn't figure out what it is I was going to do. So I thought, okay, why don't I give this a shot? I spoke at the last PHP Quebec before it became Confu. I did a talk about what I thought PHP developers at the time could learn from Ruby on Rails, because Rails was starting its ascendancy. So this must be 2005, 2006, that time frame. And I have not stopped speaking at conferences since.
So in the PHP circuit, or on the PHP circuit, you're about the closest we have to a classically trained speaker. Most of us are just, okay, I'll speak. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know, like that course, just something happened where just the bits flipped in the right way, and I was able to do presentations in class and at and informal things at work without worrying about it and not being stressed out.
Let's talk a little bit about your preparation for speaking engagements. First thing, what's the one most important thing you focus on when you're preparing for a talk?
The most important thing I focus on is actually domain knowledge, making sure I have a good, thorough understanding of the topic for that talk. Because without that thorough knowledge, I think that's where like the lack of stage presence and nervousness comes through. I have to know everything that I'm going to talk about, not necessarily like faking it if I don't know everything, but just the confidence that goes with knowing the subject material. So whenever I give a talk, I make sure I do an outline, think about all the things I want to talk about, and then I make sure I know everything back to front. And if I don't know, I'm prepared with an answer, which usually consists of, I don't know, but I can find out for you later.
Mm-hmm. Always a great piece of advice is for new speakers is it is okay to simply say I don't know. You know,
There are times. Yeah. So many people are afraid of looking stupid or afraid of telling someone that they don't know something. I have never ever been shy about saying, well, I don't know the answer to that, but I can find out.
Yeah, and that's a whole lot. You look a whole lot better if you say that than if you try to bluff something. And I'm speaking from experience here. You don't want to do that. Hey, I know how long it takes me, but how long does it take you when you're preparing a talk?
It usually takes me anywhere from 6 to 8 hours to prepare a talk from scratch. So it's usually I spend about an hour on the outline. Once I've decided I want to talk, of course, there are to go back for a little bit, there are an uncountable number of hours that lead into it, making sure that I know something about the topic. I generally speak on topics I'm very familiar with because, I mean, that's just kind of the way I've always done things. My phase of, like, giving talks to learn something new, I've gone past that. I've just, it's like my domain knowledge and knowledge of programming is so very wide but shallow. It's like, yeah, I'm okay with becoming an expert on the things that I'm already working on. I mean, I do pick up new things, but usually about an hour to do an outline, and then between 5 and 7 hours to do the slides. I do keynote. I start off by creating just a few slides, and I literally just build the talk inside keynote, adding slides, removing slides, looking at the flow, moving things around, trying to get a feel for how the presentation is going to go when I give it.
Now, do you ever build sample apps to go with it, or do you just use code snippets from projects you're currently working on?
Excuse me. It depends. Sometimes I will do a new app if it's like for an idea. For example, when I do workshops, I usually create something new and then put the code snippets from that. Oftentimes I will also go back and grab snippets from projects I already worked on. It usually depends on what it is I'm trying to accomplish with the talk.
Very cool. Now, for the past 3 years, you have also been the host of a conference, True North PHP.
It's five, Cal. We did it for 5 years.
Has it been 5?
It was 5 years. Yeah.
I thought it was only 3. Okay. Well, time flies. Has being a conference organizer changed how you look at your own speaker prep?
You know, not really. I mean, one of the interesting things about True North was I decided that I wanted to treat the speakers the way that I expect to be treated. And so me being the big-time prima donna, the speakers did get taken care of very well. But I think what it did as a speaker, I understood how much work it goes into building a talk and committing of time. And I did select a lot of people that I had seen speak already because I was always about providing value, you know, for the money that people pay to come to the event. I wanted to have a nice mix of speakers I knew would deliver a good talk and the opportunity for new speakers or really super infrequent speakers to come and talk about something. So it was kind of the reverse. The conference, like, the conference itself was more my way I pick people was because I've been a speaker for so long and I know everything that goes into it. And over time you kind of learn who can give a good talk and who doesn't give a good talk and give people, you know, give new speakers a chance and just how to make those people feel better. So I think I would like to think that at True North the speakers got treated really well and got a lot of help to like get their confidence boosted up and say, no, I want you to come and give a talk. I mean, I'm sure my standing in the community certainly didn't hurt me when I was recruiting people. That when I wanted people to come and talk, they knew it's because I was really genuinely interested in having them speak and not just like maybe I had a list and I was just checking things off. Yeah, I need a speaker on this topic and I need the, you know, I need the female speaker quota and all the other stuff that people seem to think goes into building an event.
Yeah, it's always about the topics and the topics, the content. Pick that. You're right. When I was running tech, Keith and I made sure that a third of our speakers were new speakers because we always wanted to find that new person that nobody else has seen to speak yet that is actually very good or very knowledgeable. But at the end of the day, it's delivering value for the ticket price. So you just got to pay attention to that. Hey, I want to tell our live audience, because we do actually have some people listening to us live, if you have questions ask them in the GoToWebinar control panel, and I'm pointing at it, but I realize you can't see my monitor. So, but if you've got a question about anything about speaking, go ahead and ask that there. I promoted this talk, or this episode, as we were going to talk about stage presence, because that's something that's been on my mind a lot. I've seen some people really do a great job, and I've seen some people that just don't understand it. And so I wanted to surface this topic and start talking with people about it. Now, I've seen you speak, and you are a commanding presence on stage. You, when you are up there, you truly do own the stage. But do you do it on purpose? I mean, how important is stage presence to you when you're doing something, when you're doing a talk?
So I guess a couple parts of that question. So the first thing, do I do it on purpose? So I think it's a combination of natural and learned behaviors. I mean, I know that if you're the type of person that gets anxious quite easily, public speaking is probably not a good thing for you. Because for me, it's a combination. It's like a layered approach. So when I get up there, the first thing I want to know is that I have the confidence that I'm delivering material that I know something about. And then once I have the confidence, then I know I can project via voice and topic and speaking patterns to do that presence. Now, Cal, you have seen me talk a lot of times. And maybe the people who are listening, if they haven't met me in person, okay, I'm quite a physically large person, right? I'm like 6'4", 270. I prowl around the stage when I talk. I generally face the audience. I make eye contact with people all across the room. And I just, the thing I'm trying to do is push across the idea that this is an interesting topic, I'm an interesting person, and I want to share something with you. And so I will talk, and for me the big thing is I never talk, whether I'm talking to one person or I'm talking to a whole room, I don't change the approach. I feel like I could just be talking to one person, and I would still be trying to deliver the talk in the same way. The stage presence thing, I don't know, Cal, to be perfectly honest, I think some of it must just be natural. My ability to project the voice, the confidence, the moving, all the things. I found all this stuff really, trying to think of a good word. It came to me naturally. I found like I didn't have to work on presenting material and projecting my voice and interesting stories and interesting anecdotes. And those are all just things that are part of my personality. I mean, I like to tell stories to my friends about my experiences. So I think that constant repetition just led me to develop the public speaking skills, where it's like, again, trying to project my knowledge, project that authority, and have people pay attention. And I mean, for the most part, it works. I do jokes in my talks. I always look, I'm always paying attention to the body language of the crowd to see, are they getting my idea? Are they liking my idea? And a lot of these things, they're like, I think they're skills that can be taught, but they require a lot of experience. And so fortunately, I've probably done close to 110 talks by this, something like that, between presentations at conferences, informal things, places that I work, things like this. I've done Nomad, I've done Day Camp for Developers, I've done all sorts of talks all over the place. So for me, this is a very natural thing to do, to speak directly to people, make the eye contact, project those ideas. So stage presence, I think a good part of it is natural. I try to be bigger than life is kind of how I approach it. And I think for the most part, I accomplished that during my talks.
Yeah, you pull that off. You mentioned Nomad and Day Camp. And for those of you not familiar with them, those are online presentations. Nomad PHP is a once a month type thing. And Day Camp is, we do five of them all together, but they're online, they're like this, and they're usually not with cameras, it's usually slides and voices. That's a whole different problem when you're trying to project authority and project confidence, because all you have got is your voice and the slides that are up there. You know, the slides are going to show whether you know your stuff or not, but you've got to come across as you've got to project your confidence out there. And I always tell people, when I'm doing these online things, the first thing I do is assume that every time I tell a joke, everybody's laughing. Doesn't matter, you know, because everybody, you know, I can't tell whether they are or not, but it affects me if I think everybody is laughing at my jokes. When you're talking on these things, what tips do you have, or what do you do to keep the energy up, or to keep the confidence level up, or keep it interesting when you're doing online?
It becomes much more about the voice. Like when you're in person, you can pause, you can point at things, you can stop to try to gauge the reaction. You can tell when you've got the audience, you can tell when you're losing the audience, you can tell when the joke worked, you can tell when material worked. Like I talked about, I did a time management talk when I was at Sunshine PHP a couple weeks ago, and I could tell I'd hit onto something because I could sense uneasiness. I was watching people's reactions as they were mulling over the things I was telling to them about their ability to plan their time and doing less things but doing them better. So you're right. It's when you're just doing the slides, like that type of thing where all people can hear your voice in slides, then your voice becomes so much more important. In fact, you have to kind of, I find when I do those online ones, I slow down a bit. I keep the little personal anecdotes to a minimum because sometimes the jokes and stuff, they require a little bit of body language for people to see that you're joking. And I mean, it's just for me, it's like, you're right. You have the slides. The slides are you getting your points across, and then you have to thoroughly explain things because there's no ability for you to cue. There's no ability for you to usually like highlight things in a slide or something like that. I mean, I don't approach the online ones any differently other than like slow down a little bit, keep the jokes. You can't intimidate the crowd into believing you because they can't see you. So,
yeah.
I don't have any magic formula. I mean, I don't mind doing the online ones, but I find the in-person ones better because I get more feedback as to the ideas, whether the talk is hitting its mark or not.
Absolutely. Hey, one of the things that you do is you've done keynotes before, and mm-hmm. there's a subset of the speakers in our community that have delivered a keynote. And while I tell everybody that delivering a keynote is just a lot more work for a one-hour presentation, because while, yes, I can usually knock out a regular presentation in if I've got to write code for it, I can knock it out in about 20 hours. Otherwise, 8 to 10 hours is fine. But keynotes are usually a 60 to 80-hour experience for me in developing it, in practicing it, and getting everything just right. So I've got one question for you. It's a bit oddball, but when you're doing it, it applies mainly to keynotes. When you're doing your keynote, part of stage presence is how you look. Do you put any thought into what you're wearing when you're on stage for a keynote, or is it just, this is the shirt that I threw on today?
Is this you picking on me because I don't wear a blazer like you when you're on stage,
no.
Cal?
No.
No, I don't actually. I mean, I do know when I go to conferences, I do try to pick what I think is, you know, I'm doing air quotes, appropriate attire. So usually jeans or shorts, depending on the weather, and some kind of programming related t-shirt, usually something PHP related, respect the double claw is a popular one that I wear. So I don't worry so much about how I look on stage, because to me it's the ideas that I'm trying to express that are way more important than how I look. I mean, for years and years I've worked from home and I've worked at places where it didn't matter what you wore. I've never worked a computer-related job where I had to wear like a even business casual. It's just like shorts, t-shirts, jeans, hoodies, whatever. So because I've always worked in environments like that, I usually don't think at all about what I'm wearing. It's not that I throw something on, but it's like I'll bring, you know, conference-appropriate stuff, and I'll wear a funny t-shirt up on stage again to express some quirkiness and show that I'm just not a cookie cutter and just not another speaker. Of course, I mean, someone like me saying that I worry about looking like everybody else seems kind of ridiculous, but gotta put a little flair into things, you know.
There really is no right or wrong answer on that one. I mean, our friend Gary
Hawken,
thank you. I'm starting to say hot just, and I was like, no, that's not it. Gary Hawken at Sunshine, you know, he did his keynote in t-shirts and shorts, but that worked for him. It wasn't the wrong solution. Me, I stole the idea from, do you know Paul Reinheimer? He's up there
mm-hmm.
with you. Mm-hmm. Back when Paul was speaking, I invited him. I ran Dutch PHP conference 1 year, and I invited him over. And he decided that year that he was going to kick it up a notch, so he was doing all of his talks in suit and tie. And nice. I'm not quite that far, but you know, his thing was, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to put forth an air of professionality. So
yeah, I think before we move on to the next topic, I think this falls into one of two categories. Either you dress in a way that's appropriate for the audience that you're speaking to. So like a business-centric event, you're probably going to want to wear business-centric clothing. But at the same time, if you've already kind of established a trademark of, well, this is what I wear everywhere and at all times, then you might as well go with it. If your trademark is, you know, I went through a phase as a programmer where I wore nothing but Hawaiian shirts until my wife threw them all out. You know, you can get a little signature. I mean, maybe your thing is that you always wear a hat. Or your thing is, you know, you're always wearing shorts no matter what the weather is. So, I mean, people have their own individual style. So, I mean, I'm certainly not going to say to somebody, you got to dress up. I mean, I have seen people dress up and do the suit and tie. I've seen some people just wear clothes and look like they just literally rolled out of bed 2 minutes before they gave the presentation. To me, it's still just all about the ideas. You have to be able to project those ideas.
That's true. That's true. I do have one funny story about clothes. One of the talks that I do is called The Elephant That Roared, and it is a history of PHP and an introduction to the PHP community for recruiters. And I've given it to several offices. They'll invite me in for lunch. They'll have 10 or 15 recruiters, and we'll sit around and eat, and then I'll present. I show up in T-shirt, jeans, and sneakers. They're all dressed in nice outfits, and so I always stand up and start off with, I come to you dressed in the traditional garb of my people, because the first time I just didn't think about it, and this is what I usually wear, and after that it just kind of got to be fun. Hey, let's move on. You mentioned confidence. How important is projecting confidence to a good presentation? Not only just you, but think about the presentations that you've seen.
It's everything. You'll get exposed as, or not necessarily exposed, but labeled as a fraud and a phony. If you give a talk and you're like super hesitant and not confident. I mean, I've watched talks where, the person clearly knew their stuff, but you could detect that lack of confidence, that they knew the material, but they were nervous about doing it. So it ended up being kind of, it reduced the experience because like, well, no, I'm here to learn something because I don't know as much about this topic as the speaker, but I'm just getting the vibe that you may not know much more than I actually do, and I know almost nothing. So those type of talks, I worry that this is a mistake, that I'm wasting my time, just simply because if I catch any whiff of this person does not know what they're talking about, then the credibility is out the window, and I'll probably tune out and just start like surfing on the crappy Wi-Fi with my phone. So I think confidence is everything in giving a talk. That lack of confidence simply is you telling people, I don't actually know what it is I'm talking about.
And I've seen it kill a great presentation. I've seen people that I know and that know their material get up there and try to present, but for whatever reason, they just didn't have the confidence at that point. And I knew that they knew what they were talking about. But I would talk to people afterwards, and they were like, why should I listen to this person? So, yeah, I agree. Confidence is very important. Hey, one last question for you. If you could go back to that first time right before you spoke the very first time, and you could tell yourself one thing that you've learned as a speaker, one thing that you know now, what would that one thing be?
Wow, that's a really good question. Let me think. What would I go back and tell the beginning me?
Obviously, the don't wear Hawaiian shirts. We can skip that one, but you know.
Yeah, because I know Gary Hawken talked about how he one time did a talk with a Hawaiian shirt, and a bunch of members in the audience gave him a super hard time afterwards. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I've kind of grown into the speaker thing. I think going back, I would say, just keep working at it. Keep projecting the confidence. Work on projecting the voice, projecting the knowledge. Just basically like don't deviate from the path. I mean, I've given talks that I thought haven't gone very well, and I've given talks that have gone like really super well. And so Every talk that I give is just more confidence. And, of course, the weirdest thing about this, I guess if I would go back and tell the beginning speaking me, is that this first talk is the thing that's going to launch you into an awesome career. And I don't think 10 years ago I would have believed that. If, like, current me hopped in a time machine and went back and say, hey, check out this awesome job you're going to have that all started because you started talking at conferences, I would have been like, first of all, I'd be like, there's time travel. And second of all, I would be like, I don't believe you. So the whole thing with the talks and getting involved in the community is the thing that let me have the career that I enjoy today, almost 20 years of doing this sort of stuff. So that's, I mean, when I first started doing this talks, I had no idea where it was going to go. I just wanted to do this. It was like, I'm a big believer in the bucket list idea. And that was just like, at the time, that was on my professional bucket list. Go give a talk at a conference. And I'd like to think I've done such a super amazing job of that over the past 10 years.
Very cool. Excellent answer. Hey, same two questions I ask everybody before I let you go. What's your local user group? What's the URL?
So the local user group, which I haven't been to in about 2 years because it's too damn far now, is the Grand Theft Auto PHP users group, or GTA, Greater Toronto Area PHP users group. It's gtaphp.org, I think. It, you know, I helped start that thing up when I was still kind of commuting into the city for work. And then just over time, as the traffic in the Toronto area got crazier and crazier, and I had little kids, and I couldn't leave them alone, unsupervised, without them trying to kill each other. So I started going out to the user group less and less. I like to think that conferences are my user group now. I go to several conferences a year, and that's where I get to hang out with people who are into the same things as me.
Very cool. Well, Chris, I want to take the time to thank you for being with us here tonight on Voices of the Elephant. I know you've got family obligations and everything. I appreciate you slicing off a little time. But as a member of the PHP community, thank you for everything that you've given to us, because you've given us so much, not only great talks, but books and just all kind of things, blog posts that you've contributed back to the community. You're one of the examples we all point to and say, if you want to make a difference, be like Chris. So thank you so much for everything you do.
Thanks, Cal.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.